Well, it is a pleasure to be here this morning and actually pinch hitting in more ways than one. I'm listed on the paper, but the bulk of this work was done by Nick Hill and actually John Andre as well before he left the University of Georgia to cross over the river and head to Clemson University. And my technician there, who was then John's technician, Greg Durham. Let me bend this down just a little bit. If we look at the currently accepted methodology for replacing endophyte-infected tall fescue, basically it boils down to one currently accepted process, which is the spray-smother-spray technology, which is to spray in March of the spring and then plant pearl millet or some other small summer annual smother crop, and then graze on that during the summertime in preparations for spraying again in September, October, and then planting in late September, early October, shortly thereafter. Well, there's a fundamental flaw in this technology in that there is a large time gap between when the decision needs to be made to renovate and when the renovation is actually occurring or when that planting is occurring. And certainly there's a large time lag there, so it's very risky. Certainly with regard to weather or any kind of assumptions about what weather might be, and based on long-range predictions, are going to be very inaccurate for us. Then secondly is that the herbicide technology really has not been brought up to date. There is still some refinements that needed to be made. The results have been rather inconsistent in some of the previous research, and specifically looking at multiple applications and the timing of those, especially with some of the newer formulations of glyphosate and some of the other products that are out there, including Liberty. So the other aspect of this too is that what role does that endophyte infected seed play that was produced that previous spring in contaminating the stand going into the fall as you're beginning to establish the new stand? So we wanted to take a look at that as well. And then fourthly, we wanted to make sure and test this at the field scale and really do a good job of making sure that this is going to translate well to the producer so there are no hiccups in the system. So the objectives of our study were really to look at first determining the, especially some of these newer herbicide formulations, their efficacious control of toxic tall fescue, determine the best application methodology in order to minimize those escapes, and to then optimize the stand of the novel endophyte tall fescue stand after renovation. Thirdly, we wanted to look at the seed survival, and especially the endophyte infected seed survival, through the summer, harvested at different stages of development. And in other words, whenever this process was started, when we killed out the tall fescue in the spring, or suppressed the seed heads anyway, what would happen to those seeds. And then fourthly, to test this on the field scale and make sure that this best method that we identify from the other objectives really translates well in a beta test on the field scale. So the methodology for this study, first of all, I want to go through experiment one. I'll go through the various experiments step by step. The first experiment was to evaluate those herbicides for efficacious control of toxic tall fescue. We did this in a small plot study. It was a randomized complete block with four reps. And those were split between, two different methodologies there, split applications or single applications. And notice there that the split application, if I can point to it here, was relatively narrow in terms of time delay. So basically a two-week interval in that split application. And those were done with three different herbicides, Liberty, Roundup Weathermax, and Gramoxone. Then Max-Q was no-till planted on the 1st of October. And then later on the following spring, they evaluated for weeds, fescue escapes, and Max-Q occupancy on the 1st of April. And then later on in the summer, then they took some forage samples, dried them down in a freeze dryer, and looked at total ergot alkaloids. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail about this study. That is in the paper that will be coming out in Crop Science. But suffice it to say at this point, Glyphosate was identified as the most efficacious, and that's really where we built from in that particular study for experiment two. So experiment two was to determine the best methodology for achieving complete stands of novel endophyte tall fescue after renovation. And so here are the treatment layouts that we did for that. At planting, and you can see the rate of glyphosate in this particular case, a single application one day prior to planting. And then we had a whole series of split applications that varied in several week intervals between when we anticipated planting and when it was, so 2 weeks prior to planting, and then one day prior to planting, 4 weeks prior to planting, and one day prior to planting, and then 6 weeks prior to planting, and then one day prior to planting. A split applied for a total rate of the same as what was applied for the single application. And then fifthly, we looked here at the spray, smother, spray, same split applications, spray in April, plant pearl millet in the summertime, and then spray again one day prior to planting. And then we had a control with no spray at all. This was done in two locations, Athens, which is more or less in north central Georgia, and then Blairsville up more into the mountainous areas of North Georgia, each for 2 years. This again was a small plot study, arranged in a randomized complete block, four reps, fertilized based on soil test recs. MaxQ then was planted again early October in both locations in both years. Then they also again evaluated for weeds, fescue escapes, and in-row occupancy of MaxQ fescue on the 1st of April. And then the harvest forage was then freeze-dried and analyzed for ergot alkaloids. So here's what the experiment two plots looked like. This is right prior to the clipping, the final clipping of the pearl millet. And this is right before the planting was to be made. Now, right here is the pearl millet plot, and it's kind of hard to see even in good lights, but this is a good presentation here. If you see this line right through, you see this line is actually the remaining stand of the pearl millet, so it really makes it difficult for that implement to get down into the soil and make good soil seed-to-soil contact. So let me go back and point out one other thing since we got a little extra time. You can also see this is actually a six-week plot right here. This is one day after planting, so there's actually a little bit of green left there. That's the green up from the first application. And notice the 2 and 4 weeks, that really hasn't had a chance to recover yet, and so there wasn't as complete a kill. So this is what it looks like the following spring, or early that following spring, the 2, 4, and 6 weeks, and you can see the 6 week very defined rows, the 4 week somewhat defined rows. And then if we look at the spray, smother, spray, you can see that there's still quite a bit of residue even the following spring, and this is relative to the control there. So let's look at some of the data there. What we have here is percent occupancy of MaxQ. 4 and 6 weeks tended to be the best in that category. Toxic escapes and weeds, there really wasn't any statistical differences there. All of those treatments actually resulted in pretty good control of that. But notice here that the total ergot alkaloids that were assessed are relatively low in both the 4 and 6 week category. That translated very well to yields. The 4 and 6 week, again, were better. Actually, in Blairsville, this is averaged over the 2 years. Blairsville was a very good site, very good conditions there. And in that particular instance, the 6 week came out to be superior. But in Athens, at the Plant Science Farm, basically not significantly different there, but significantly less than the control, which was not hampered by application of herbicide. So now, experiment three was to evaluate the summer survival of that tall fescue seed at different stages of development. So what they did was is they harvested those seeds from a Kentucky 31 toxic endophyte infected tall fescue on 16 May, 23 May, 30 May, and 2 June in 2 years. And that seed was then evaluated based on the stage of maturity on the basis of panicle color, seed color, and seed shatter, and then endophyte infection status and the viability of that endophyte. Those seeds were then placed in a nylon mesh bag and then placed underneath a thatch at the edge of the plots in experiment two to simulate what would happen over the course of the summer for those seed. The seed were then recovered just prior to the planting of experiment two and then tested for germination and viability of the endophyte. So let's look at some data there. I won't bore you with the details really with regard to the stage of maturity and that sort of thing. That's been well established. The later you cut, the more mature that seed is obviously is going to be. But what you can see here is that there was a slight difference in terms of germination at the Athens location as you went later into the seed maturity stage, and that stands to reason, of course. So on average, though, the germination was rather low, actually, coming through that four-month period, about 25%. And in the Blairsville location, it was even lower. It was about 10%. The endophyte infection level of the seedlings that were then germinated from those seeds, about 33% were infected in Athens and about 73%. And this is actually across all of those germination, or all of the maturity stages of which it was harvested. So if we look at the percent of seeds that form seedlings that are infected with endophyte, it boils down to about an average of 8.5 in Athens and 7.4. So roughly about 10% overall is going to survive and have a viable endophyte in there. Okay, so experiment four was to take that a step further. Take that best method that was identified in experiment two and beta test that at the field scale. And this was done on six different farm fields, four of which were in Georgia, two of which were in South Carolina. By this time, John Andrew had gone over to Clemson from leaving from Athens. And so he had a couple producers there that he partnered up with to do this part. So what they then did is those fields were mowed or grazed to make sure that the seed heads were never formed, and then split applications of Roundup were made 6 weeks apart prior to planting. The MaxU was then no-tilled in early October of 2006, and then the following spring, 200 tillers from each of those fields were sampled, tested for endophyte in the presence of ergot alkaloids. Here's one of the fields in question, the toxic endophyte field that was then renovated using this upscale version or the field scale version of what was determined as the best method in experiment two. And what they found in the field over those six fields, the range was 2.5% toxic infection rate with a mean of 1.2%. So very, very low levels of toxic endophyte infected tall fescue in those fields that had been renovated. So in conclusion, applications of glyphosate from experiment two, we've found that when those are properly timed, it can result in near 100% kill of the toxic endophyte infected tall fescue. When destroying and trying to reestablish the novel endophyte tall fescue, 4 to 6 week separation resulted in higher MaxU occupancy, lower alkaloids, fewer weeds, and higher first-year yields than any other method. About 10% of the endophyte-infected tall fescue seed produced in the spring will survive with a viable endophyte at the time of fall planting. So seed head suppression during the spring of the year is very, very important. And we also were able to prove this methodology on the field scale. If you'd like more information about the recommendations that at least we're using in the state of Georgia now, we have this publication. It's actually on display at the A4 booth downstairs. Humbly say that it was selected as an award of excellence for extension publication. It's also available on our website, which also was selected for an award for excellence this year. So very lucky in that. So with that, I'll entertain any questions that you might have. I think we've got plenty of time. Hopefully I left plenty of time for the other speakers to also have some extra time as well.
We got time for a couple.
20.
On your spray spreader spraying technique, why did you don't
What was the problem with the pearl mill? Did that hay off and then you still had that much thatch? Or why was there so much thatch?
Well, there's just a tremendous amount of residue from any of those summer annuals, and it was probably the better method if you were going to do that would be to take that pearl millet off a lot sooner. And I think in that particular case, it was just a matter of a few days before they planted into that. But still yet, pearl millet residue, as you saw from the slide the following spring, it's going to take a long time for that residue to break down, even still. So I don't think that there's a whole lot you could do about that, even if you... They were hayed off. They were hayed off. They were clipped off, basically, with a plot harvester. Yeah. Yes?
I wasn't clear about your control. What was the control?
Control basically was no spray treatment at all. It was the existing indified infected tall fescue. So it was kept there as a control, basically, to see what came up through that stand without any spray treatment at all. Yes, it was mowed and harvests were taken off of it as in the others as well. And also to get a measure of the relative alkaloid content between that and the max Q to make sure that it truly was a novel indified infected tall fescue. Chuck?
Yes, there was in both locations you had very few escapes, very few of the toxic escapes, but your herbate alkaloid levels were quite different.
Yeah.
Why is that? I mean, you had very low escapes.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that is the case. Even with the infected, there was relatively low numbers, but it still turned out to be significantly superior for the 4 and 6 week methodology. I don't know. Wonders of nature sometimes, I guess.
One but, more question.
Mac?
Back to John's question. Was Maxcube overseeded into the control plot?
I,
just
I believe that it was.
Okay, thank you.